State Senator Mike Shirkey in the studio.
In the studio this morning, Greg. Good morning to you.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Good. Looking forward to the Tourney Open this afternoon. Hoping to see you out there.
What a great event, eh?
Yeah, I think that this is a...
You've played in it about every year.
I've played in it as long as I've been able to hold a club, I think. Uh-huh. You know, so yeah, it's very nice, and it's a great tradition and something that Jackson can be very, very proud of.
Raised a lot of money for cancer.
I don't even know what the most recent count is, do you, in terms of the total dollars? But it's big.
It's huge.
It's huge. Yeah, no, it's great.
It's really one of the biggest.
This is nationally one of the best, longest running, I think, golf outings, fundraisers for cancer. So
over 30 years.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I'm only 35 years old, so I started when I was 5. See.
Well, you guys got an interesting week coming up, Mike.
We have a very interesting week, not to mention the fact that we've got to start wrapping up the budget, but we've got this citizen initiative related to recreational marijuana that the 40 days that the Constitution provides the legislature an opportunity to react to once signatures have been affirmed by the Board of Canvassers is up tomorrow. So after tomorrow, if the legislature doesn't muster the votes to take control of that and then properly regulate it, then it will go to the ballot in November, and I believe it'll pass in November, and that should scare the bejesus out of just about every employer, because there's very little in that initiative that provides employers a latitude to basically regulate their own workplace with regards to marijuana, and it'll be a mess. My prediction is, if it goes to the ballot and it passes, that there will be thousands of lawsuits across the state of Michigan over the next couple of years.
How did it get this far?
Well, we've got outside.
We're down to one day.
Well, we've had, the Constitution provides 40 days.
Right.
It's a tough vote. I mean, I hate the thought of me making an affirmative vote for recreational marijuana, but I hate even more the thought of it going to the ballot, being passed, and then exposing our kids and our citizens to an basically unregulated marijuana industry that'll be actually worse than what they're experiencing in Colorado. It'll be bad.
So what do you?
So right now we're trying to muster the votes. I think we have the votes in the Senate to basically this is the, as we discussed about a month ago or so when I visited your station. The legislature has three options. One is to do nothing, which is an action, and that goes to the ballot, and that's what we're faced with if we don't do anything tomorrow. The other option is to put a competing initiative on the ballot for November. It's too late to do that. And then the third option is just enact it as written in the citizen initiative. And then, but the nuanced difference here is that if we take the third option, the legislature can actually amend it and change it with just majority vote. Either of the other two options, it takes 3/4 vote. And we experienced that with medical marijuana. It took us 9 years to actually put a regulatory structure around regular medical marijuana. And law enforcement and prosecutors and local communities had just nothing but a chaos for those 9 years. So I'm resolved to, if we can muster the votes, to do so. And like I said, I think we have them in the Senate, but now we're falling about 15 votes short right now in the House. So we'll keep working it.
It could be enacted tomorrow?
Tomorrow. That's right.
Wow.
It doesn't require a governor's signature. The way a citizen initiative operates, if the legislature has majority support for it and enacts it, then it just becomes law immediately. Well, actually, 90 days after signing the die.
And there won't be any rules.
Well, there's rules, but I'm just suggesting to you that the rules are very
vague
and loose. Loose, yeah. On purpose. I believe this was designed to be intentionally defective, to hold a gun to the legislature to actually act. And it was kind of a strategic decision by those who were behind it. And by the way, people need to understand that the money behind this initiative came from out of state. So this is another thing that we're facing across the nation, not just in Michigan, that there's a lot of millionaires and multimillionaires and billionaires that have pocket change measured in millions, and they get a burn or settle. They want to fool around with politics in a given state. It just takes a little bit of that pocket change to get a citizen initiative going, and away we go.
Do you expect we'll see a lot of big money come into the state?
If this goes to the ballot, there'll be tens of millions of dollars come into the state to get it passed. And then what we'll have to do then is try to rally the business community and others around the state match that. We won't be able to match it. There's no way we'll be able to match it, but we'll have to fight it, and we'll fight it aggressively. But to me, it's just a matter of time. I mean, if we might be able to kill it this time. We might be able to defeat it this time. I doubt it, but we might be able to, because there are going to be three or four or five other initiatives on the ballot. But to me, it's a matter of time whether before it gets passed, and I say the best choice is, the most conservative choice, is to capture it, control it, and regulate the you-know-what out of it.
So tomorrow's the deadline?
Tomorrow's the deadline. So by the end of the day tomorrow, technically it's
Could that be a long night?
It could be a long night, but it can't go past midnight because right. The day is the day, you know. So I'm hoping it doesn't do that. I think we'll know the condition of things in the House by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon and whether it's worthwhile to continue to pursue it or not.
What else is shaking, Mike?
Well, the budget is the next topic of discussion, and we're just about finished on that. Not a lot of drama this year regarding the budget. It's Governor Snyder's last budget. He will now have 8 consecutive years where he passed the budget, you know, in early June. I hope that's a standard that the future legislatures continue to keep, and future governors, for a long, long time. It takes a lot of uncertainty out of the state budget process, and for local communities, in particular schools, it lets them plan for the longest time possible. And the other thing that I'm working on is, again, you and I have talked about it, is applying a modest work requirement for a very specific cohort of Medicaid recipients, those that are able-bodied. And I'm pleased to report that the governor is seriously engaged now. He actually made a trip to Washington, D.C., and he didn't tell me about it on purpose, to go see how far we think we could take it in Michigan. And he came back all excited and shared with me that, you know, we're going to get this done. So I think this week we will actually announce that we've come to an agreement, and then it's just a matter of getting the votes done in the House.
And where do you sit there, do you think?
Oh, we're great in the House. I mean, everybody wants it. It's just a matter we don't want to pass it if the governor's not going to sign it.
Right.
This is one of those deals where we want to get it into law. And he doesn't want to veto it. He understands the need for it. It actually dovetails very, very well with his Marshall Plan for raising up, you know, 600,000 to 800,000 people, training them up for higher level jobs. Most of those folks will be vacating jobs they're currently in. And so we have to scrounge to find workers now. And so this is a great dovetail for that.
What put the governor over the top?
I think when I made the pitch explained to him that this was a perfect match for his Marshall Plan, and that kind of lit his eyes up. And then he recognized that, you know, basically every employer that he talks to says, "Hey, listen, we're scratching for people to come to work, even at low skilled positions." So I think he ultimately understood. And then and me agreeing that we'd remove or reduce the hours required on a weekly basis down closer to 20. Which is the standard that's been used across the nation. So those three things combined, I think he knew that it was going to get passed through the legislature. He knew it was going to be on his desk, and he also knew that this would not be a good one for him to veto.
Will schools get a boost, Mike, in this budget?
Yeah, schools get a significant boost. Never enough. And we've got some big issues in education. You know, one of the things that I've discovered since running for office is that everybody that runs for office and is elected feels like they're an expert in education because they went to school.
Yeah.
You know, I, on the other hand, don't think I am. And every conversation that I have with educators and with administrators is, tell me what obstacles we need to remove for you to be successful. And my definition of success, of course, is kids can read and do basic math. And you know, and then prepare themselves for either careers or studies beyond. And I think there's just frankly too much layered on schools, and that's a burden that I'm committed to continue to peel away. But there's a significant amount of increase in education this year.
Well, there's that part of it, and then the school safety issue.
That'll be separate, and that's not insignificant either. Again, we're going to, I think we'll end up doing our best to provide schools access to significant money for grants, for whatever they deem necessary in their schools. This is not going to be a mandate because every school is different. And the last thing I think we all want is, we don't want schools to turn into prisons. That'd be horrible. It'd be just horrible. And so there's a good starting package there on school safety, and it'll only grow from here.
So who's on your golf team?
We've got an Orbitform golf team, and we're pretty good. So, but there's a couple of ringers. John Ganton always brings and Lloyd Ganton in particular, he always brings a ringer team in that sets the standard for everybody. So the Ganton teams are usually the ones to chase.
They got trophies.
They got guys that stand on 15 tee and hit 3 woods to that green, you know. I mean, yeah. I can't hit a driver in a 9-iron that far. So.
Well, it should be a good day.
It'll be a great day. Yeah, it'll be a great day, and I hope to see you out there, Greg.
Thanks for coming out.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. State Senator Mike Shirkey.